began last week talking about abundant blessing, and so we want to continue talking about abundant blessing on today. Our worship, our praise has been focused around that, all orchestrated by the Spirit of the living God. And we want to continue in the Word of God as we look at Psalm 36 today, verses 5 through 10. Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. And today we're going to be talking about drinking from God's river of delight, or delights. God's river of delights. When you have found in your Bible or on your particular device, when you have found Psalm 36 verses 5 through 10, I want to invite you to stretch your legs one more time. You got a little rest. Now you can stand back up and let's read the Word of God together. When you found it on your device, I want to invite you to look up and we'll read it from the screens together. Amen. Amen. Let's read together. Psalm 36, beginning with verse number 5. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. And the people of God said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Drinking from God's river of delights. Father, as we look into your word, we ask for, Father, fresh revelation, fresh encouragement, and a fresh word from you. For you are the living God, and your word is living and active. So, God, we pray that on today, God, you will simply use me to communicate a message of hope and life to us, your people. Anoint my tongue with grace and truth, and make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer that only speaks, God, what you command. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 36 is, again, another psalm written by David. That psalmist who apparently took time to sit down before God and receive from God and record what God had given to him. It's a lesson that you and I can learn from David. Take time to sit down, hear, and receive and record what God has given unto you. For God is the living God, amen, and he still speaks. Amen. And it is his desire that he whispers in your ear and write upon your heart that which he has just for you. Amen. Just as you would not allow someone else to sit down at the table and eat for you, don't you dare allow someone else to eat God's word for you. You eat it for yourself. You receive what God has for you and let him then give you that which will not only bless your heart, but it will be a blessing to others. I can assure you that this oracle that David wrote first blessed his heart, and then it turns around and it becomes a blessing to our hearts. Amen. So God will speak so that he will bless your heart. And then in turn, it will be a blessing unto others. When you go back to verse number 1 of this particular psalm, that's what it says. It is an oracle that is within his heart. And he begins off not talking about the righteous, but he begins talking about the wicked. And brothers and sisters, what I'm wanting to remind you and me is that we are not of those that are wicked, but we are those who are righteous. We don't get what God has laid up for the wicked. We get what God has laid up for the righteous. In fact, God will even take from the wicked to give to the righteous because we are his. And therefore, God has desired to bless us abundantly and to allow us to drink from his river of delights. Amen. As we talked on last week, I want to refresh your memory. As we talked on last week, we said that there were two attributes that you needed to make sure that you had in order to receive the blessing of the Lord. First, you need to have a healthy fear of God. Amen. Amen. We need to have a healthy fear of God whereby we reverence him, whereby we respect him, whereby we honor him. And when God says, do it, we say, yes, sir, God. Amen. Amen. We need to have that as a part of our being, that it doesn't matter who's looking at us, who's around us. Our fear of God keeps us straight because God is an ever-seeing God. And you can't hide from him. No matter where you go, you can't hide from God. He pierces the dark. No matter how high you get, God's still there. No matter how low you get, God can scoop down and find you. Amen? So you can't hide from God. And so when you have a healthy fear of God, it's no longer people that you're trying to impress or please. It is now God that you are walking by trying to please. And so it doesn't matter whose company you're in. You're not righteous because of the company that you're in. You're righteous because you fear God and you realize that you are always in his company. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I just get excited. I do. Hallelujah. So you need to have a good, healthy fear of God. Secondly, we said that you need to learn how to take refuge in God. Hide in God. Make God your protective place. In times of trouble, take refuge and shelter in God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When it's going good and you can kick back and rest, do your resting in refuge with God. Make him your dwelling place. Amen. He said, if you can learn how to have a healthy fear and learn how to just dwell and take refuge in him, he says that abundant blessing becomes yours. You learn how to command your soul to honor God and to fear him and to take refuge in him and to be content in him. Abundant blessing then will be yours. And this is the one thing that we wanted to make sure that you and I understood, that when we start talking about blessings, we didn't begin enumerating blessings. We didn't start talking about the types of blessings and the kinds of blessings. It was because of this. We didn't want to try to put God in a box. Because we believe that God has so much for us that our minds cannot imagine it, can't comprehend. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God wants to do for his people. So we didn't want to try to start enumerating the blessings and say, God, this is what we call. What we wanted to say was that if you've got God and God is with you, that is the greatest blessing that you can have. Amen. Because if you've got him, he is what? More than enough. When you got him, there is no circumstance that comes your way that God cannot handle. So it was the idea that if I want to be blessed, I want to make sure that God is with me. So then I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in holiness. I'm walking in such a way that God will walk with me and call me friend. Amen. Call me friend. He says that when he calls you friends, he doesn't hide secrets from his friends. He tell his friends what's going on. That's called blessing. That's called blessing. You remember Elijah, the prophet? God told Elijah to shut up the heavens. And so Elijah prayed that it would be no rain. When he shut up the heavens and he prayed that it would be no rain, Elijah then had to go hide by the brook. Remember that? And as he's hiding by the brook, his refrigerator was broke. Amen. Amen. He got water by the brook, but he ain't got no bread. He ain't got no meat. Oh, but when you are walking in obedience to what God has said, and when God is with you, God will make a way out of no way. And because all things serve God, God can tell the ravens, take Elijah some breakfast. I'm just trying to tell you, when we start talking about blessings, don't you put God in a box. You let God do what God wants to do. Your job is to just simply walk with him and earn and deserve the favor that he wants to give you. And let him pour out upon you blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Here's what I'm praying as I've been reading, studying, and preaching through this and preparing. God, will you transform the way we think? Because God, we have pigeonholed you to think that this is what blessing look like. We've listened to the culture so long that we think that this is what blessing look like. And God, we need you to change the way that we think so that we can come to understand that, God, your idea of blessing is much bigger than what the culture thinks, because the culture is only caught up with materialistic things that they can see, touch, and feel. But God, we want renewed minds. So that we are content no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, we are content. It don't matter if the refrigerator is broke. We content because we know you gonna take care of us. We content. That when things are going bad, I won't become depressed thinking that you walked out on me, because you are not the God who will leave me nor forsake me no matter the situation. I'm content. That I will learn how to be happy whether I got a whole bunch or just a little bit. Renew our minds and change the way we think. Help us to put our eyes on heavenly things and stop looking at this stuff around us. Amen. I'm praying, God, will you help us to stop allowing Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, and you every other gram, stop allowing them to dictate to us what good life looks like. If you want to know what the good life is, you better go to the Word of God. You better get in the Spirit of God. And you better allow God to show you what the good life is. Because he said that he came that we might have good life. Come on, help me. Help me. And it is only in him that we discover what that is. Amen. And so in this oracle, David begins again to highlight. He reminds us what we first need to stay away from. And so when you get a chance, you go back and read all of this psalm. Read verses 1-4, because he talks about what wicked people act like. He's saying that you need to be careful that you ain't like those kind of folk who have no fear of God, those kind of folks who always flattering themselves, those kind of folk who so caught up with themselves that they can't even detect when they done messed up and when they got too much sin in their lives. He says, don't you be like that. Don't you be like wicked folks who are deceitful with their mouths. They speak one thing, but in their hearts, they're harboring something else. He said, don't you be like that. Kind of folks that instead of laying up on their bed thinking about the goodness of God, they laying up on their bed plotting evil. Who they gonna get? What they gonna steal? What they gonna rob? Who they gonna hurt? No. He says, when you laying up on your bed, you need to be thanking the Lord, focusing on him and celebrating his goodness. And then that's when David hits verse number 5. And he explodes, it seems like, almost just in a praise about who God is. Look at verse number 5. It says, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. So first he talks about God's love. And then he says, your faithfulness to the skies. And then he says, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, and your justice like the great deep. Suddenly David just explodes in adoration of who God is as he talks about God who is love, and he describes God's love as being so great that it reaches up to the heavens. In other words, God's love, he ain't ever gonna run out. He talks about God's faithfulness that reaches to the skies, and he reminds us that God is a faithful God, that what he has started in you, hallelujah, he's going to see it to completion. That God never starts a project, run out of money or resources, and has to quit. That what he starts, he will finish. He is faithful. Then he says his righteousness is like the mighty mountains, won't be shaken. It's like the mighty mountains, his righteousness, that you can trust God. God is all powerful, but he's also righteous. Oh, that's important, because we see powerful people that ain't righteous. And as a result of that, they do people wrong. But God ain't like that. God is righteous. God is sovereign. God has all power. And in the midst of him having all power, he is going to do what is right. That's good, that you can trust him. You don't have to worry about him doing you wrong. When you give all of yourself to him, you don't have to worry about him taking advantage of you. Instead, what you can be assured of is that he will bless you more than you can handle. And then he says, your justice is like the great deep. This is a reminder that God is just. God is just, and he focuses on justice. And don't you be deceived just because you see unjust behavior, just because you see people that are getting away with a little bit right now. Don't be deceived. God is a just God. He says that he will not be mocked, and at the appointed time, he'll deal with unjust behavior, because he is not only righteous, he is just. And his justice runs deep. Then David closes this by saying, you preserve both man and beast or animals, which means that God's love that he lavishes upon his creation, that he takes care of all that he has created. And then he says, how priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. So it does not matter whether you got plenty or whether you have little. It doesn't matter whether you are important or, as they say, insignificant. It doesn't matter. Both low and high men among people, they find refuge in the shadow of God's wing. Don't you know it don't matter how much you got or how high you get, that unless the Lord God covers you, you ain't never got enough. Amen? It is the reminder that it is God who is the keeper. And he says, they find refuge in the shadow of your wings. And then verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from your river of delights. And so as we talked about abundant blessing, here was the one thing that we wanted to remind ourselves of is this. God desires to bless us. Let's not get in the way of receiving that blessing. Amen. It is God's desire to bless us. Let's not be the problem. Amen. God has said he wants to bless. And if you ain't being blessed, God ain't the problem. Wait a minute. See, you missed those attributes that I went off rattling off real quick. I rolled through them real quick. You missed them because they are significant. What did he start off? He talked about God's love. He talks about what? God's faithfulness. He talked about what? God's what? His righteousness. And then he talked about what? God's justice, right? And so if it is God's desire to bless us, if God is a loving God, it says he highlighted that his unfailing love is the kind of love that doesn't fail. If he is a faithful God, a righteous God, and a just God, if I ain't getting a blessing, can I blame God? Now, I know a lot of people want to blame God. They do. They do. A lot of people. You'll start talking to people about the goodness of God, and then they want to blame God for the trouble that they're going through. And rightfully so, they acknowledge that God is all-powerful and he's sovereign. So if he's all-powerful and he's sovereign, why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? And suddenly they want to put themselves in the place of God and talk about, now why? If God is all this, why am I doing? It's almost like those people, you remember when Jesus was crucified and there was those folks that were mocking, and they came and said, oh, if you're the Son of God, how come you don't come down and save yourself? Because you don't understand what's taking place, right? And so now, if God wants to bless us, and I believe he does, remember we went back to Genesis and we talked about how he said that he will bless. What he has done is talking about blessing. If God wants to bless us, and I believe he does, if you and I are not experiencing the blessing, again, God is not the one to blame. And so if God is not the one to blame, then who is? Is somebody else blocking my blessing? I'm like you sometimes. I think so. And if we are to be totally honest, there are people that seek to block your blessing. Ooh, I gotta be honest with you. That's right, the wicked. There are people that will pray against you to block your blessing. They will, in their act of illegal worship, pray that your blessing, what God wants to do for you, be blocked. They'll pray bad stuff on you. That's why it's important that you need to take refuge. Amen. That's why you need to dwell in the presence of the living God. Because when the enemy, through his agents, began to launch his darts at you, trying to hinder what God wants to give you, you have cover and you have strength and you are renewed, and God gives you wisdom and he helps you to understand how you can fight against the one who is trying to get in your way. And he enables you to become an overcomer and a victor. And he helps you to keep pressing until you receive what he said he wants you to receive. He helps you not to throw in the towel, not to become weary, but to realize that if God said it, that settles it. It's enough, because God is faithful. And if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it no matter who tries to stop it. And therefore, I'm going to stand until God delivers. When you're in the shelter, when you're dwelling, when you're taking refuge, he helps you to not throw in the towel. But now sometimes it ain't other folks that's blocking my blessing. Amen. Sometimes I am the one that's getting in the way of receiving the blessing that God wants to give. Amen. And all I'm wanting us to do is move to the place of where we are no longer getting in the way of blocking the blessing that God wants to give to us. That's all. That's all. Get out of the way and let God bless. I'm not going to go there because of time, but you've been encouraged over the last couple of weeks to read Deuteronomy chapters 29 and 30. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is about blessings and curses, and they deal with God telling Moses to tell the people that if you do these things, you will be blessed. If you don't do these things, you're going to have curses that come upon your life. I want to encourage you over the next week to go back and read Deuteronomy 28. That one is a little bit lengthy. You can read the blessings and be happy, but when you get down to the curses, man, it's a whole bunch of verses around curses that, whoo! But read Deuteronomy 28 and then go to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 talks about kind of the renewing of the covenant, and it deals with this whole idea of how the people of God are supposed to act in a covenant relationship with God. And God says to them, if you will do these things, I will be with you and I will bless you. Then read Deuteronomy 30, in which God, through Moses, reiterates over and over and over again. He says that what I'm asking of you is not too difficult. All you need to do is walk in obedience to what I have commanded you. Do what I've asked you to do. And he says, I will be with you and I will be against your enemies. And anyone who presses up against you got to deal with me. I want you to go back and read 28, 29 and 30. And as you're reading it, remember this, you and I are not under the law. Okay, we're not under the law. So when you're reading it, don't read it like you are under the law. Read it like you are under grace. But understand this, there are principles that are being pulled out that God is revealing to Moses, to the people, that you and I can learn from, because God is really saying to them, I am a holy God. And I have made provision to dwell with you and to bless you. And if you want me to dwell with you and bless you, you must be a holy people. That principle did not die with the law. Because God still says to you and me, you are a holy priesthood. If you want me to dwell with you, you've got to be holy. And I've sent my spirit to live in you, to help you walk in righteousness and remain holy. And as long as you allow my spirit to govern your life and to operate in your life, I will keep you in such a way that we can dwell together, tabernacle together. And when you walk with me, you will walk in blessing. Amen. Why? Because the Spirit of God is like what? Living water? Yes. You know what living water does? It flushes all of that stuff out of you. And it keeps you purified. It keeps you clean so that the living God can dwell with you and be a blessing in your life. That's where David gets back and he says, you and I can drink. We will feast on the abundance of God's house. You know what? I can just put the mic down and let you come start talking about the abundance of God's house. When you start thinking about what's in God's house, all good things, satisfying things, pleasing things, amen? He says you will feast on, not that you're going to snack on. Come on, get this. This is the renewing and transforming our mind. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a snack. Yes, that you get to feast on, not the leftovers. You're not feasting on the leftovers. Even the leftovers in God's house would be good, right? Come on now. You remember that woman, that Syrophoenician woman that went to him and said, I need help? And Jesus said, I only came for the house of for the lost children of Israel. And he said, not. I ain't got time. Yeah. She said even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master table. She understood that if I just get a crumb from your table, it's more than enough. But God is saying, I'm not offering you the crumbs. He said, I'm going to let you feast on the abundance. You come into the table. You're not getting leftovers. You're not getting crumbs. You get a feast from the abundance of God's house. And then when you had all that you can drink, you can wash it down or eat. You can wash it down with a drink from his river of delights. Watch what God just did through David. He just took you from a place of talking about meeting your needs to saying, I know you got some desires and I can meet those too. He took you from the place of, you know how we like to say, he'll always give us what we need. Yeah, it's a true statement. But we like to use that because we're confessing that there are some things that we desire that we haven't gotten yet. He's saying, nope, not only am I going to let you eat from the abundance of the table, but I'm going to let you drink from my river of delights. And he said, if you delight yourself in me, that I will give you the desires of your heart. He said, I'm going to give you from what you need, and I'm going to give you some of that stuff that I put in your heart. And it's going to come while you're dwelling with me, while you're eating at my table, while you're drinking my drink. You're going to get full and you're going to be happy. Lord help. Let me read this last verse. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. Man, that's way too much to unpack. I just want you to circle one word. Continue. Continue. It is the acknowledgement that God has already been good to David. It is the acknowledgement that God has already been good to the righteous. It is the statement that God is a faithful God who sees you and who wants to provide you with abundant blessing. And so he simply says, continue. Continue what? Your love. Why? Because God, your love covers over a multitude of sins. God, your love meets me in my darkest valley. God, your love found me when I was lost, and it led me because of your light. Continue your love to me. Whatever you do, don't cut off your love for me. Because if I got your love, I've got all that I need. Continue your love to those who know you, to those who are righteous and who are upright in heart. And this is what I love, because you and I have an advantage. We have an advantage over David. Did you know that? We have an advantage over the folks of the Old Testament. Did you know that? When Moses said to them, this is not too difficult or too hard for you to do, we have an advantage over them. We have not only the recorded word of God that talks about the experiences of the old saints, we have the Spirit of the living God who lives in us and who dwells in us and who gives us an advantage that they did not have. Oh my goodness, if that don't get it good enough for you, watch this. We've got the blood of the Lamb. We have the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed, put into us. And so that we're not dependent upon our own righteousness, we're dependent upon the righteousness of Christ. And so when he talks about continue your love to those who know you and who are righteous, when you and I say that, we're saying that in a whole new light. We're saying, God, I know that my righteousness is like filthy rags before you, but because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, because I've been covered by his blood, I have a righteousness that is not my own, but that it comes from you. And so when you look at me and you see the righteousness of Christ, you look at me and you are satisfied and you say to me, you will live and not die. You look at me and say, you will be blessed and not curse. You look at me and you say, you will be the head and not the tail. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Now I'm going to stop. Hallelujah. All because, why? We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it gives us an unfair advantage. Preach over there. Preach. And if you and I can learn how to walk in that unfair advantage, dwelling in the presence of the Most High God, taking refuge in him, loving him with all of our hearts. If we can learn how to walk in that unfair advantage, he says that we will receive abundant blessing by first experiencing his presence and him being with us. And then he says that he will be with us, that you and I may be able to feast from his table of abundance and drink from his river of delights. Amen.